Start your day at the Tearaway, Northwest London. Sunday, 3rd of Kislev, 27th of November. Dine Yeshua Posen Shlita, being honest with yourself. This week's Tearaway is sponsored by family Posen Lila Nishmas, Reb Moshe Ben Reb Yeshua, Zichron Levrocha, Frank Posen, Zichron Levrocha, on his 25th Yahrzeit today.
Discuss today an inyan which we get to see in Beis Din every so often. In Beis Din is in Yetzirah, Momnus in Yetzirah, Gittin in Yetzirah. We get to see a side of people that maybe people prefer normally doesn't get seen. And as such, if there's something that we can learn from here for our own lives, then it might be a useful insight. In this week's parasha, Perek Chotes, Pasuk of Hey, you have the famous pasuk where Yaakov Avinu, having worked 7 years to be able to marry Rachel Imenu, being concerned that potentially his future shver was the type of character one had to keep an eye on, and might try and pull the wool over his eyes. He created simonim with Rachel, and nonetheless, as the pasuk, "Vahiva boike v'hine hi leo," and it turned out in the morning it was Leah. "Vayomer lovon mazois osisali halei b'Rachel avadati imach v'lomorim yisoni." Says Yaakov to Lavan, "What have you done to me? I worked all these years for Rachel Aminu, and you've deceived me." Reb Chaim HaKadosh points out that there are two separate parts to the taina of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says, "I worked for 7 years for Rachel, and you gave me Leah. And furthermore, v'lomorim yisoni," says the Reb Chaim HaKadosh, Yaakov was saying to Lavan, "First of all, I worked for Rachel for 7 years. The deal was Rachel. And you gave me Leah. So you broke the deal. But even with that, if you would have been honest with me, you would have been open and upfront. Explain to me, that's not how it works here. We can't give away the younger daughter before the older daughter. And we know you worked for 7 years, but nonetheless, this is how it has to be. You have to marry Leah. You want Rachel, you can have Rachel afterwards. We can negotiate how long you'll have to work for that." That would have been Einzach. That would have been one thing. But to then turn around and Rimi Soni, to then betray me and pull the wool over my eyes that I don't know what I'm doing, Bechlam. And all of a sudden I wake up and I get this shock, I get this surprise. That already is a whole different level. We find this many times in Dine Torah, where people have had tainas on each other, that things don't seem to add up, things don't sound right. You find it sometimes with shutrim, where one shutuf might be running the whole show and the other shutuf is an investor, and some things just don't seem to match, but every time they question, they get thrown back at them. Hayitochen, you question me, how can it be such a thing? You find it with yorishim sometimes. You can have a brother looking after an estate and a sister who doesn't seem to think that the money that she's receiving is the money she should be receiving. You find it often in Gittin. You find it in various different areas, some which we'll maybe elaborate on later if we have time, where people are in a position of trust and they're trusted by those around them, and the people turn around and sometimes question. There's a concept in psychology called gaslighting. Those of you who are not familiar with it, gaslighting is when people use subtle emotional manipulation to throw your questions back on you with such certainty that you almost question your sense of judgment and you start thinking, maybe I'm taking a mishika, maybe how could I even think such a thing? And sometimes when that bubbles burst and a person realizes that actually I was right to question, and I was right along the way to not be clear, and instead I was made to feel like a fool. That feeling of betrayal is incredibly painful. We find, it ends on Shabbos, Perich of Zion, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, where Yitzchak, who loved Esau, who thought that Esau was the one who was deserving of getting the brachas, and the brachas aren't just gashmiyistika brachas, they're gashmiyistika brachas that will enable the son who receives them to be able to maximize their ruchniyistika potential. And Yitzchak was sure it was Esau. And he intended giving the brachas to Esau. And now, a son comes in, Hakol Kol Yaakov, Edayim De Esau, and he gives the brachas. And a minute later, Esau walks in. Says the pasuk, Vayechad Yitzchak, Charodo Gedoylo Ad Ma'oid. A lashon we don't find anywhere else in the Torah. Yitzchak trembled. A great trembling shook to his core. We don't find this lashon anywhere else. We don't find such a level of pachas, such a level of shock anywhere else in the Torah. And Rashi tells us, what was this great trembling? No, Medrashoi Ra Gehenon Pesucha Mitachtov. Brings the Medrash Rabbah. He saw Gehenon open in front of him. Says Rabbi Avigdor Miller, from one second to the next, Yitzchak had a revelation where he saw literally he was standing on the precipice with the gates of Gehenon open in front of him. And he saw he nearly fell. He saw he'd been so tricked and misled that he nearly fell, gave it all away. And it would have been a catastrophic mistake which it would have been impossible to rectify afterwards. The Rachaim HaKadosh on this pasuk says, Charad al Ramos. He shook, he trembled on the Ramos. Now, Poshup Shah, you could learn on the Ramos that Yaakov had tricked him into giving the brachas to Yaakov. But as we're going to see Pashtus, the Rachaim is saying on the Ramos of Esau that has happened for all these years. Rabbi Avigdor Miller asks a kasha. He says, how is it Shaykh for Yitzhak Ovinu? And whenever we speak about the Ovos HaKadoshim, we have to do it with great care. We have to understand that we have to learn limudim from the stories, but we can't begin for a moment to think that we understand the madrigas that they're on. But says Rabbi Avigdor Miller, how is it Shaykh for Yitzhak Ovinu to have the wool pulled over his eyes? Yitzchak Avinu. He didn't know the difference between Esau and Yaakov. And he explains, that we're told at the beginning of last week's parasha, V'yehav Yitzchak es Esau kitzayit bepiv. Says Rashi, Medrashoi bepiv shel Esau, shoyetzado isoi umaramehu bedvorov. First shot is poshut, he hunted for him, he brought him food. But says the Medrash, it means that Esau hunted and trapped Yitzchak with his words. We know how to mice assault. He came to him with all sorts of interesting shayas which showed his level of Chumrah and his level of intensity in wanting to get the Torah mitzvahs correct. And Yitzchak fell for it. Says Rabbi Avigdor Miller, for that to happen, Pashtus, it's only Shaykh if the real Ramos took place on Esau himself. For Esau to be able to pull the wool over Yitzhak's eyes so convincingly would only be shaykh if Esau himself had managed to convince himself that this is who he was. If Esau had managed to convince himself that, look, I'm out in the fields all day hunting for my father, Kibbutz Av. That's who I am. And I just want to do what's right. And he said it himself so cleverly and so intensely and so repeatedly that he himself internalized it and genuinely believed it. Only then would he be able to act in such a way. With Yitzhak Avinu, the Yitzhak would look at him and think this is real because the person who's showing it to him thinks it's real. And he falls for it. Says Rav Avigdor Miller, Yaakov, as we're told in the pasuk before, was Ish Tom Yoshev Aholim. And he explains this musig of Yoshev Aholim. In the olden days, there was no such thing as schools. For many days in Klal Yisrael, there was no such thing as schools. Parents would mechanech their children at home. They learned by example from their parents. And their parents gave them the koichos and the tools that they would need throughout the rest of their lives. Says Rav Avigdor, one of the most important tools that parents can give a child is the ability to question themselves. The ability to recognize that we need to stop and ask ourselves, is this right? Is this correct? Maybe we're negei abudova. The apostle tells us, "Ki ashoichet ma'avos eini chachomim." My father, Alav Shalom, used to always say over the vort from the Chofetz Chaim, where if you have a poor person sitting outside shul collecting money, and you come and ask him about Mr. Cohen, is Mr. Cohen an Osher? And he says, Mr. Cohen's very, very wealthy. Doesn't necessarily mean very much. In the eyes of this Oni, this person's very wealthy. He might even own his own car. If you go and ask an extremely successful businessman, is Mr. Cohen very wealthy? And he tells you, Mr. Cohen, behind horrors, get benched. He's very, very comfortable. Then that already means a bit more. If you go and ask a little kid in school, Albert Einstein, bright, very, very clever, means gurnished. If you go and ask a genius, is someone clever, and he tells you he's clever, wow, that means he's mamush clever. There's no bigger hechshishtempel in the world than the Rebbeinu Shleilom himself calling someone a chacham. If the Rebbeinu Shleilom calls someone a chacham, then that means that it doesn't get higher than that. And yet, in the Torah, the Rebbeinu Shleilom tells us, Ki ha-shoyched ya'ava eini chachamim. Says the Rebbeinu Shleilom, someone who I call a chacham, not someone who you call a chacham, someone who I call a chacham, but ha-shoyched ma'avas eini chachamim. That means everyone, Adam Korav Eitz L'Atzmoy, a person is negeya to themselves. You can never, ever think with 100% certainty that the way I'm looking at what I'm doing is absolute, correct, and I don't need to listen to anyone else, I don't need to question myself, I don't need to ask anyone else's opinion on what I'm doing, is it correct or not, because I know with certainty that what I'm doing is impeachable. It's perfect. Nishtar Zazach. Chachomim. The Rebbeinu Shleilom's Chachomim, says the Chofetz Chaim, are subject to this problem of sheichad. And sheichad doesn't only mean money in a paper bag. I remember I was once speaking in a school on the Indian of Besdin, and a girl put up her hand and said, has anyone ever given you a bag, offered you a bag of money? Sheichad is often a lot more subtle than that. But negias, a person's eigene negias, how people look at themselves, how people judge themselves, is the biggest sheikhat. It's the biggest sheikhat of all. And if a person thinks that what I'm doing is absolutely right, without question,
then that will cloud their vision to a level that nobody will be able to convince them otherwise if they're not able to listen to what other people have to say. And that, but Etzem, says Rigda Miller, is when it's most dangerous. When it's most dangerous is when a person is so delusional that they've convinced themselves that which, if they were done on other people, they would have clarity what's correct and not correct. But when they convince themselves that this is a correct way to behave and justify it, and Fakir says, Rabbi Victor Miller, the moment you bring in Hashem Shamayim, then you're finished. The moment these justifications the person brings into themselves is, I'm doing this Hashem Shamayim, you're finished. I just want to show you how krum this can go. I once had a case in Besden. I hope this person doesn't listen. Once had a case in Besden, a couple who wanted to get divorced. It was a large family. And I was trying to explain to the husband why it was a mishigas. It was a mishigas. Mummy, she had a large family, he had a wife who still loved him, and she wanted to keep the marriage together. And he had a drinking cop and decided why he wants to get divorced. And at one stage, to try and convince me that this was the right thing, he turned around. I know you have to be there at the time to believe this. You're going to look at me like I've made this up. He turned around and he said to me in these words. He said, don't you think it's going to be better for my wife if I divorce her? Because it says in Chazal that the Rebbein Shem has rachmonos on almonos and single people. So if I make her a single mother, the Rebbein Shem will have more rachmonos on her. Don't you think? You've got to watch this to actually believe that people's minds can sometimes be so convoluted to convince themselves and twist themselves into a pretzel. And the moment you have a machlekes in Besden, when you hear it's the Shem Shamayim, then you know it's going to be impossible. Because the moment it's the Shem Shamayim, then whatever you say, you're arguing with the Shem Shamayim. So who are you to argue with it, Bechlal? Doesn't work. Doesn't make sense. One of the scenarios where we find this the most common is when you have, I might have spoken about this here before, Chazor is important, especially in this inning, where you have a partnership that's been created by an investor and a young misasik, the young person who's going to run the business. And all the money comes from the investor. And the young person comes in, often wet behind the ears, often very little experience, doesn't have the connections, doesn't have the business acumen yet to really put this business together himself. And he gets handed a business on a platter. And he gets told, can you work in this? And we're going to split the revenue 50-50. He wouldn't have had the money himself, wouldn't have had the idea himself, wouldn't have had the connections himself. Gornish and gornish. And he starts working. At the beginning, he's tremendously grateful. There's a vot from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, where in a few weeks' time, we'll be told, Vayomer Melech Chodosh asher lo yodeh es Yosef. A new king came to Mitzrayim who didn't know Yosef, and he started making takonos against Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Rashi brings, was it a Melech Chodosh, or was it an old king who forgot about Yosef? Machlekes in the Gemara. Friend Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who cares? Why are we having a machlekes in the Gemara? Whether it was a new king, whether it was an old king, the bottom line is, there was a king who didn't know Yosef. Well, what's the machlekes about here? You have to fight about such a thing? It says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Meroim are arguing on human behavior. Is it shaykh to have a situation where a person can owe so much hakaras hatoyev to somebody else, and yet one day there can be like a flick of a switch, and they wake up in the morning and it's ki'ilu lo hayo. Says one Amore, can you zayin azazach? It can't possibly be after everything Yosef did from Mitzrayim that one day he'd wake up in the morning and it must be Melech Chodosh. Another Amore says, no, I'm telling you, shaykh such a thing. Vayomer Melech Chodosh, it doesn't have to be a new king, it could be the old king, and one day, boom, ki'ilu lo hayo. I don't know, what do I owe him? Ah, he owes me. Now, if that's Pshat in the Gemara, I'm paskening like the second mandama, it's Shaykh. We see it the whole time. You can have a situation, like we said, where the active partner, he starts working in the business, he does it 1 year, he does it 2 years, does it 3 years. After 3 years, he's long paid back the investor his money. He's got his own connections. The business may have morphed from what it began to something else. And every single month, he's doing all the work and he's sending out 50% of the money to someone who's got nothing to do with the business. And Achenvei, 1 month, if there isn't the right amount of money to come, and Yenna says, but I'm relying on that money, where's my money? Like, it just grows on a tree naturally. And we find often, not always, but very often, one of three scenarios happening. Either one, he gets to a stage where the askin, the one running the business, just loses cheshek b'chlal. Why am I doing this? I'm giving away half the money, I'm doing all the work. It's not worth it. Or two, he breaks off of his own business, copies and pastes, and takes the entire business with him. Or three, he stays where he is, and he starts redirecting funds. And he's got no problem. He can sleep at night because Be'etzem, every pound I give him is a matana, it's a sucker. Be'etzem. I've given his money long back. He's not entitled to anything back. And he lives in this bubble where he repeats it to himself often enough. If he's clever, he won't repeat it to his wife. Because they're very good at, you know, does that make, is that right? I'm not so comfortable. So better not to repeat it at home. But you repeat it often enough in your mind that Be'etzem, yeah, this is fine. And they come to Bezdin, and they start saying over the case. And you've got the investor, and he's saying, I've been asking for the books, and he won't give me the books. It doesn't make sense. I know what this business should be making. I know what's going on in the economy at the moment in this particular area. It's booming. Everyone I know who's invested in this area is making loads of money, and it does something. And the investor is made to feel like, Hayitochen, you question him. And he comes like all embarrassed. I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong, but something doesn't add up here. And I just want someone to tell me, is it right? Is it not right? I'm sure everything's fine. And then Misasa gets up and he starts saying, do you know how much you owe me? Do you know how much Akoros HaTorah you should have to me? Do you know what I've done for you? Do you know how much money I've given you over the years? And then from what? From £15,000 you put in at the beginning for this business. You got back 10 times the amount of money. You come in, you chutzpah, you question me. And I was pushed into coming to Bezin, I'm sorry, but I just want someone to tell me, you know what, if it's all right, I'm fine. I just want to know, is it right? Can someone give me some clarity? You start unraveling the interior. And all of a sudden, the Dayanim look at this person and say, you're a ganav. Yeposha, a ganav. He's a shutev. He never stopped being a shutev. But because you're in your own little bubble, and because no one knows what's going on, and because no one can question you, and if anyone questions you, then you throw it back at them and make them feel guilty. So you retzachan, your own mushagas, and it goes further and further and further. And you've moved so far away from that initial time when you just borrowed a bit of money from the business that no one knew about, which you were going to pay back straight away. But now it's just morphed. And if this person would see this in a different scenario in someone else, let me shrine, Chai Rekayim, how are you talking? How can you do it? You're a ganav. How can you behave in such a way? But because their own egan and negiyus, Hashoich and Ma'avas Eini Chachomim, they can't see the wood from the trees. And it comes to that moment in Bezdin, and they look, and Bezdin say, what are you doing? This doesn't make any sense. Shtei in Posuk. When Yosef turns around and says to the Shvatim, Ani Yosef, ha'oid abi chai, porcho nishmosom. Chazal tell us, porcho nishmosom. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. Say Chazal, oil yom ha'misa, oil yom ha'techocha. The others, the shvatim, we have to be careful when we speak about them. But this was mamish what we're talking about. They did what they did, l'shem shemaim. This was what they paskened has to be done to Yosef. These halomas are made up, it can't be, it's true, we have these married, all the different mepharshim explain the reasons why they did what they did. But they were wrong. And one moment, all of a sudden, there was a light bulb flash, and they saw all the years of tzar that they put Yaakov through, that they told themselves, it was okay, it's difficult, it's taka difficult. Sometimes it's difficult to do what's right, Hashem Shemayim. So they told themselves, It doesn't matter the tzar, because this is what has to happen for the greater good. And all of a sudden, there was a revelation, and they couldn't handle it. Poruch HaNishmasam. See, Chazal, Rachmona Litzlan, how many members in Klal Yisrael are going to lead their lives in a way where they don't consult with other people, where they don't check that what they're doing is right. And even worse, if they fool themselves into thinking that this mahalach that they've chosen for themselves without checking is Lashem Shemaim, and therefore it's a green light to do whatever they think is right in that mission, Lashem Shemaim. And they can, a person, Rachmon Islam, can lead their whole life like that. And they're shown the reality, how it's complete sheker. Imagine a person being Meisa Nefesh their whole life for an avodah which they think is the right mahalach, and realize one day how wrong they were. It's something you can't contain. It's something you can't handle. Says Rabbi Gamila, Yitzchok was saved at the precipice of such a mistake. Gehenna was open in front of him, and the brakes were put on, not by himself. He didn't realize. He had the Siyata Shmaya, that Yaakov Avinu came in and got the brachas. And at this moment where Esau comes in, and he realizes, do you know what I nearly just did? I nearly just threw it all away. Says Rabbi Gamila, but you know what else he realized? That this son, Esau, who I thought was such a tzaddik, who I thought is roy to get these brachas, not only is he not roy, but look how I've been betrayed. And that, as we find in this week's parasha, is the same feeling that was had by Yaakov when he woke up in the morning and realized this is Leah. Says the Aruch Chaim, it's not just the fact that you gave me the wrong one, it's that you betrayed me, it's that you tricked me. And we see this tzar in Bezin in Dinei Torah, we see this tzar in Bezin in Gittin, in various different situations. Says Rabbi Gamila, a person has to train themselves to the possibility that it's an option, that something they may think is perfect and correct, and they may have thought that for a long time, may not be correct. They may not be acting in a manner that's correct. Yaakov was Ishtom Yosheva Holim. He grew up in the tent of Yitzchak and Rivka, who corrected him and told him if this wasn't correct, if that wasn't correct, and gave him the tools to question himself. Esau was out in the sodder. He was fine. He was confident that everything he was doing is fine. He doesn't need anyone's help. He's certainly not been recovered Esau from anybody else. May we learn the lessons from Chazal. To ourselves, make sure that Chamev Esau, when we come to Yom HaMisa, it won't be a Yom HaTzichah. Shkei.
Consists No, but it's not.